Hello and welcome to Backflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. Coming to you this week from sunny London, because again, I'm out on manoeuvres with a special episode of the podcast this week. You will recall last week that I spoke a little bit about how and whether we might be able to tell you a bit about what Major League Baseball was planning to do in the UK, of course, in 2019, but even before then. Well, I've got some good news. I don't know the answer to those questions, but I'm with a man who does. It's Charlie Hill, who is the head of the MLB office here in London. Charlie, how are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, we were just saying beforehand, I'm in a suit today because I've had my business head on, and you were quite
very
surprised by
that.
Yeah, well, if I've intimidated you with the suit, wait until we get into the questions. Right, so we'll start with a little bit about you, Charlie, because you've been here for 2 years now, and I think it'd be interesting just to start with, you know, how you came into the job and why you yourself were a baseball fan as a starting point.
Okay, well, so my I guess relationship with baseball,
the journey of becoming a baseball fan is always an interesting one for people in the UK or anywhere outside of the US, really, because it's always quite idiosyncratic and interesting. But first experience I remember having of baseball was actually on a holiday when I was about 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. So my mum used to live in Ann Arbor in Michigan, and she was a student and a teacher. Anyway, we went to go and visit some of her friends when I was about 13, and the family we stayed with insisted that I should be sort of given a US sports experience. Mm-hmm. So they took me to see a Detroit Tigers game. So we drove in there, and on Saturday it was a washout, which is quite got a sour first taste. But I was told, don't worry, we'll come back the following day because it's going to be a doubleheader. So we arrived at about midday. We stayed in the stadium until about 10 at night, so it was a fairly hefty dose of baseball.
Blimey.
But it was, I was trying to remember, it was 97, and it was against the Mariners, so Ken Griffey Jr. was playing. And I remember there being real excitement about this. I don't think he even got on base that day, so it was one of those classic first experiences. Then that was also, I suppose, when baseball kind of came into my consciousness. And then when I was a student in the UK, I did an exchange year. In the US, so I went for a year to study in Rhode Island in Providence, which is not too far from Boston.
Yeah,
and that was in 2004. Mm-hmm. And you're a Red Sox man, aren't you?
I am.
It was a pretty good year for the Red Sox.
Yeah, it was not bad at all.
And I think, honestly, at that point, I think that's when I actually would say that I definitively became really, I suppose, a fan, or really understood that this sport's got something special. Mm-hmm. Don't need to go through the story, but it's just a remarkable place to be. Mm. At that time, you're swept up in something that I'd never really experienced before. This understood there's a sport there with a depth of meaning and kind of something going on that it was just unique. And I suppose at that point, I was like, well, actually, this is pretty interesting. So from then on, I've kind of followed the sport, had a chance to live in America for work. So from that, I've become more of a conventional fan. But that was those were my roots in.
And when there was an opportunity to come back to the UK and to pick up on that passion, I guess it was something you couldn't pass up, really.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, it was a unique opportunity, and stems from the commissioner, really. So Commissioner Manfred coming into the role, one of his major priorities was to take a fresh look at international. Mm-hmm. So the way that we structure, orientate ourselves as an organisation internationally. Mm-hmm. And so I was, he brought in a senior team around him, and then I was brought in by that group to rethink how we operate internationally. Yeah. And, you know, not just a fan of baseball, but a fan of sport, and it was just a unique opportunity, so it was quite
exciting. So what has changed? You came in 2 years ago, and people who knew MLB here in the UK knew it was very much focusing on game development, but not just because of you, but because of what you were saying, and Rob Manfred's taking the sport in a different direction internationally. What's different now? What are you doing differently in terms of your day-to-day work that maybe wasn't happening 2 years ago?
Well, there's a lot to say there. I think that I have to answer in two different ways. It's probably good to talk about, actually, I think, as a group internationally, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And then I can happily talk about, specifically for me, what that means. But I think that just sort of talking more broadly than the UK for a moment, I mean, what Commissioner Manfred did do was say, along with the SVP of International, Chris Park, was to take a look at the way that we are positioned, like, practically internationally. Mm-hmm. So in very simple terms, we started an office in Mexico City, which has been well documented as a potential expansion project. And there's an office we've had in Tokyo for a while, but that expanded in terms of personnel. And also another one opened in China, in mm-hmm. Beijing. And then a presence on the ground in Korea as well. Mm-hmm. And then a sort of a renewed kind of approach in the London office. So, of course, the UK is really important. I hope we'll talk a lot about the UK specifically today. But the office in London was sort of tasked with reviewing what we do in Europe, Middle East, Africa, and India. So kind of a big task initially. But putting those people in place and those offices in place was, it sounds simple, but that practically takes quite a bit of work to get set up. And so the first task from Commissioner was, let's get on the ground, let's be more localised. Mm-hmm. Let's actually do what's appropriate for those markets.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind where we are as a sport, as a business. And I mean, you know, just quickly, you can sort of understand that you'll well know that Japan's a mad baseball market, as is many parts of Asia. Mm-hmm. So the business and the way it operates and how it has to behave in that market is one thing, which is quite different to Mexico. Really important, mm-hmm. tons of fans, but in a different sort of state in terms of our presence on the ground there. And then similarly in the London office, which of course was given this very broad remit initially, kind of they're all connected, but they're in a sort of similar trajectory, but at very different stages.
Yeah.
And so the idea was, let's not treat international as one blanket thing. Let's try and be a little bit more nimble and allow for us to think, how might we take a steer from those local offices and have that guide us in New York to behave, operate more appropriately for what's going on in those markets. So that's an example, I suppose, of what... what the commissioner tried to do, I suppose more specifically for us in out of the London office, game development, player development still goes on at a pace, and we can talk about that. But you know, the baseball operations team with Kim Ng do a ton of great work. I think what changed there was to make sure that we better connected what was going on from a player development standpoint, whether that be through national federations or our own player development programs, with what was going on in the US.
Yeah.
And those guys talk about it as, you know, making sure there's a clearer pathway for the best talent to actually get a shot at playing in the US, whether that be in the college or the minors. And actually, that's been quite, again, a very pragmatic organisational change, so that actually there are those connections that, that work. And then I think, you know, there's been conversation about playing regular season games in Europe and the UK for an awfully long time, far before, you know, it goes way back. And I think the commissioner came in and made it pretty clear that let's renew the focus on that. So that was certainly on my plate. and that, you know, in terms of, let's make sure that not just in Europe but also internationally, let's be far more aggressive and really make sure that we put together an international play plan that's new, fresh, makes a statement that we actually, you know, want to play, want to take our teams and bring our sport internationally. So those are the sorts of things that I think have been the main focus of us as a group internationally over the last couple of years.
Great. So you've had, if you will, you've had leave to try a few things out, haven't you? So you've had your pop-up shop in Covent Garden. Of course, we had Battlegrounds last summer, which we'll talk about a bit in a minute. So what have you learned about baseball? A lot.
Really? No, well, yeah, a lot. And I think that actually it has been the main task at hand, which is learning. It's kind of, you know, when you're given essentially the task which says, let's take a moment and have a look at what's going on across the Europe, Middle East, Africa and India, there's a lot of listening that goes on. So rather than just trying to make any assumptions about, well, let's just take what works in the US and plug it in and, you know, just keep ramming it down people's throats, and actually let's just stop for a second, figure out what is the smart thing to do, and what do people want, what's the right strategic planning. And that I suppose actually is maybe a good way of explaining what my role is, which is, as much as anything, understanding, learning through all kinds of methods, I suppose, including, you know, trial and error, essentially, like research and development, and reporting that back so that we can make bigger bets that are smarter. So what have you learned? We've learned a ton. I think that those examples that you cite, actually, you know, we can absolutely go through them in as much detail as you find.
As you find
interesting.
But
I think one of the things that's proven really important to us is that you listen to each market, what you think works. Of course, the experience of baseball, what it means, it's different everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you've got to have a sort of a humble, open mind. Then you use these things like the pop-up shop. They're rarely are they an end in themselves, right? The goal was not, you know what, let's have a pop-up shop in Covent Garden. that's a really important stepping stone in a journey to try and get where we want to be. Mm-hmm. So I think what we've learned is that it's one thing having a vision for what you think baseball should be in the UK or in Europe, and we have a good sense of where we'd like ourselves to be mm-hmm. in terms of what we think is meaningful to the fans over here, mm-hmm. what makes sense in terms of our business or our organisation and so on. Okay, now how do you get there? And mm-hmm. it takes time mm-hmm. and it's a journey, and you have to be really, you have to be strategic about plotting a path. Mm-hmm. As aggressive as we want to be and as optimistic as we are about where we think we should be, mm. you've also got to be realistic about what are the steps you've got to take to get there. Mm. I think we've learned actually these things take some time, but yeah. we've got to have a really clear vision and point of view on what we want to be, why, a logic that's underpinned with strong data, and then plot a logical path to get there. So a good example being the pop-up store. What we want is to make sure that as many teams as possible have a strong representation at retail, right? Mm-hmm. So fans can buy products, wide variety of product from the teams that they support. Okay, great, how do we get there? And it's a process. So pop-up store is a really important stepping stone to actually learn, build a case that allows us then to go and do something like the online European store. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not a finished project, right? That's still in development. Mm-hmm. But that then helps build a case for, you know, there is a demand. Yeah. And so it's kind of learning actually as you go a little bit to convince people to come with you so that you can realise the vision in mind. It's exactly what Battlegrounds was as well. I mean, we didn't sit there one day and say, you know what we need to do? Let's do a home and derby in the middle of a park in London, job done. Yeah. Like, the goal is games, right? Let's make no mistake. Mm-hmm. But what we've learned is you've got to plot a really clear path to get there, and we will do. So, but that's, I suppose, that's a little bit how we think about learning, I suppose.
Sure, and just dwelling on Battlegrounds, I think one of the questions that people have about it is where the hell did that idea come from? Because it was pretty out there.
Where did it come from? So,
just say it was you.
Done, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Next question.
If people liked it, it was you. If they didn't, maybe not, right?
What we know we want to do, what we think is really important, is let's get teams over here playing games regularly. Mm-hmm. How do we get there? Mm-hmm. And Battlegrounds was a really important stepping stone because there were a number of questions we had to answer as part of that process. Mm-hmm. And so things like, you know, for example, what we realised is, thinking actually, I'm a big NFL fan and I've enjoyed with some envy like the fact that they've got games going on, of course, but mm-hmm. looking at how they describe that process, mm-hmm. going way back 10, 15 years to when they first started doing it, it's really interesting. They talk about how their conversations at that stage were really basic and sort of pragmatic, like, do people have passports and do they understand what a three-prong plug is and those sorts of things. Mm. And a lot of it is trying to build advocacy within the sort of playing community that actually there is support and willingness to go to other places and play the sport. And it doesn't matter how many pretty slide decks I make, there's no more meaningful kind of advocate than players themselves. Mm-hmm. And so quite practically, it was like, well, let's think about who, you know, we want player advocates. So actually getting people like Cliff and Carlos and Sean Green involved in something, practically that's possible because they're not in the middle of playing.
Yeah.
And they are respected, highly respected individuals. Let's get them over here and have them involved in something that will then allow them to go back. And no better way than a question asked, like, what's the flight like? What are the hotels like? Well, yeah. Don't trust me. Speak to Carlos, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we had to kind of overcome. And then other things like putting on regular season games, I think we might talk about what's involved in that, but it is a massive undertaking. And so there's an enormous, highly skilled events team in Major League Baseball that do some amazing things. But for them to get their head around working practices and partnerships with people on the ground over here is really important, so that there's a sort of an understanding and a confidence built up that actually starts to have those guys try some things out, get used to working on the ground in Europe. They need someone to kind of almost practice, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, we literally started with this list of challenges. And so the other thing is, we want to try and make a statement in the US baseball community and get Europe, particularly the UK and London, in the consciousness of the US playing community, fan community, and in the awareness of team owners. Mm. So let's do something that's innovative. Let's do something that gets their attention.
What was the feedback like? What did you hear from your peers and colleagues in New York, and then from even further afield, sure. some of those people you've mentioned?
The feedback was was overwhelmingly positive, actually. I think that we felt like we were taking a few risks for very calculated, really good practical reasons, but never quite know how that's going to come off. But I think that a lot of the playing community saw that and thought, well, that looks great. Mm. That looks cool. I want to do
where have all those people come from? I thought that too, right?
Yeah, well that too, but then that's sort of a separate point, which was really important to say. We had about 18,000 people, at least that were there on the day. Perhaps even more impressive or more surprising to us that we had 1 million people watch live online. And that was just some guys on a stage smacking balls. I mean, it's easy to be dismissive of it ahead of it. People are very skeptical. But when you tell them actually that drew a significant crowd live, and 100,000, at least 100,000 of those were in the UK, you can't argue with that. And so actually it did help convince people that there's something definitely worth the attention going on in the UK. In particular as well, it was another thing that was really important, is that we are going to need to find ways to connect baseball to new fans right, in the long term. And that is not an easy task. And so... It's a great task, though. It's an amazing creative challenge. So what are all the ways we can begin to play around with framing of a live baseball experience? What are all the levers we can play, whether it be food or music or talking about these big famous cities that we have a great connection with? And Battlegrounds effectively is a way for us to try a lot of those things out, bring people who had never been to anything to do with baseball before and have a conversation with them. Like, what do you think? And I think particularly pleasing to us was that those new fans were overwhelmingly kind of excited by what they saw. I mean, like, we want more. And that's really helpful for us to begin to understand, well, when we do more things that are more substantial, like bring games over here, we have a lot there to learn from, to point to. And so in that respect, you've got a list of things you've got to try and solve, and then you kind of just start working it out. So okay, we want player advocates, who can we get access to? Okay, we want to go and do something in amongst an audience that's not just our avid our fans in the UK that are obviously important, but new. Well, let's go where they are. So let's just drop this in the middle of somewhere where they're already going to be milling around. So that helps that. Let's make sure that actually we do something for the fan community in the UK that's actually, it's a hell of a watch party, right? I mean, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
So that's important. It's actually quite a pragmatic starting point. What you end up with is something like whatever that was. I don't know.
Something pretty crazy. Yeah.
And then, of course, things like, hooks, like, well, what happens if, you put cricket players against baseball players. There was a lot in there that became what it was.
We've talked around it a little bit, but we're coming to the elephant in the room, I'm afraid. I'm not going to ask you the direct question, is it definitely going to happen? I'll be a bit kinder than that. So I'll ask you, how confident are you at the moment, at the time that we're having this conversation, that it is going to happen, and when do you think you're going to be able to communicate more to people?
Sure. Look, I mean, I think actually, not just me, but the organisation at large are feeling very confident. I'm feeling that the project is in a really good place. I am a bit of a broken record on it, John, as well. That's I've said things like that for a while, but it's true. I think that there are so many moving parts, and we've worked, particularly since I've been around, but I know it's gone on long before my time to make this happen. And I think there's consensus that actually we're in a really good place. I think in terms of timing and time frame and so on, it's tricky because I'd love to be able to sit here and say on this day I'll say something useful, but
don't do that. Don't do that to yourself.
The important thing maybe to say is that it's required a lot of patience from the baseball fan community, particularly in the UK.
Oh yeah.
And look, I mean, I get it, and particularly as you see other sports coming and doing it, it has required patience. I'm not trying to be coy, because I don't think you guys have got to be patient for that much longer.
Great. Well, there you go. What's this space then? Is I think what you're saying there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like I said when I first came in and Commissioner Manfred brought in the international play plan, there are some material things I can point to that show that this is not just lip service.
No,
the CBA is probably the most significant thing, and that was a lengthy, challenging process, completely worth it. But people are skeptical. I understand, but there are some examples there that show that look, we are doing things that are moving us exactly where we want to be.
So let's just assume it is going to be June 2019.
That's a fun assumption. All right. Okay.
Okay, well, let's just take it and run with it. What happens between now and then? Because we had Battlegrounds last year. There was a lot of fanfare around it. It was fantastic. But I think, you know, you and I have had conversations, and you accept that it's been a little bit quiet since then. Mm-hmm. And people are saying, you know, where's MLB? What's happening? So what's going to happen? You know, what if it's going to be June? What are you going to do before then? And, you know, sure. You're going to make the team bigger. Are you going to do more events and so on and so on? You know, sure. A lot of questions in there, but just take it wherever you want to go.
Okay, well, thanks. But yeah, there's a lot of important stuff to say around it, and perhaps we start with the way that we start with the games. Start when we work back, but. I think the way that we talk about it internally is that playing games overseas is one of the things that we definitely ourselves can control, right? We can mm-hmm. work and try and bring that to life, and we can do that, and that's great. So, you know, if that does happen in the UK or in Europe, great. That alone, though, that's an exciting spike. But the real value is about how can you make sure that there is a sort of a legacy, right? Mm-hmm. That actually, it's an amazing moment, but that it actually is sort of a shot in the arm to many other things that are already set up mm-hmm. in place. So the way we talk about it internally is that we sort of think about international series, particularly in Europe, and a little bit like the way we think about our All-Star Week. Mm-hmm. And that actually, rather than thinking about it as two games, let's think about it as almost like a celebration, a festival mm-hmm. of baseball, and then the city that's hosting it, and think about all the ways in which we can open up baseball to fans, new and old, right? So from an amazing opportunity to see best players in the world live, to things going on the day before, the week before, really try and make a kind of a festival feel around it that's plays to music and food and many other things. And I think that's a good place to sort of explain it, that actually that's how we think about it, rather than mm-hmm. fly in, hit some balls, get on a flight and go home.
Yeah.
But to your point, quite rightly, that okay, then, but what before it? What do you do to lead up? And we already have a lot of things in place around the way that we want to approach that build-up. So effectively, from the moment that we know it's happening, there will be a journey. Mm-hmm. A journey that will last however long, right? Mm-hmm. A year, year and a half, whatever. That is all about trying to connect a series of events, activities, communities together that build momentum and excitement around, sure, this one moment. Mm-hmm. When that moment goes, we've got to make sure there's an infrastructure in place that yep. continues. So actually, the idea here is not that the games are this moment and see you again in 12 months, but they are a really exciting thing that we can orientate a lot of our work around. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sure, more home run derbies as a part of building it up, but doing more things with fans and giving them an opportunity to get together and watch games, looking at new content partnerships, all that kind of stuff is really important. So there's essentially this journey that happens that builds momentum and excitement. And so that, that's maybe quite conceptual, but
yeah.
that's certainly the way that we frame it. And that requires a lot of work from us across mm-hmm. our organisation. So the broadcast and media team, the events team, this goes on, right? They're all plugging in to make this thing actually not just an announcement, buy a ticket, but get involved for a period of time. If you're new to baseball, let's find a way for you to feel like this is an interesting journey to be on, and then mm-hmm. a chance to watch it live. That's very much how we frame it.
Great. And obviously, people are seeing the adverts. Your team's getting bigger, so you've got going to have more people helping you to do that. There's a lot on your plate.
Well, there is, but I think that the idea being that, of course, what we're trying to do here is almost kind of feel like a good way of looking at it is that my work and the office as it currently stands, which is very small, we're at a tipping point, right? Mm. Where actually, like I said, there's been a lot of work gone into planning and testing some things and trying a few things out. And we're about at the end of that, right? So you may say sort of phase one of my brief or whatever when mm-hmm. I came in is just about done. Mm-hmm. And so now we will quite aggressively transition, I think, into the next phase. Now, that will mean more people that are more focused on supporting activity in the UK. So my role may continue to exist alongside that, but we need far more staff to plug into grassroots, to our partnerships across media and licensing that actually can service the community, I would say, full-time and be more dedicated to making sure that these things work.
Just sort of dwelling on that for a moment, we recently ran a fan survey of people who listen to the podcast, visit the website and everything. Really positive feedback about what's happened so far, what people want to happen in the future. One thing that keeps coming back all the time from a fan engagement perspective is that it's really hard to stumble upon this sport. Yeah, we talked about it happening in Hyde Park last summer, which was fantastic. But if you're not already a fan of it, how do you become a fan of it, and how do you find it? So I wondered if that's something that's also part of your conversation. You know, how are we going to get this in front of more sets of eyeballs on the TV? How are we going to get people just tuning into Five Live and accidentally hearing it on the radio? Is that something that's in your thinking?
100%, 100%, and that's exactly the right. That's exactly the right question, and I know that the guys in the team are hard at work at exactly that at the moment. I think I'll talk specifics in a sec, but one of the things that we've also, you asked about learning earlier on, and I think one of the things that it's been interesting, I don't know if it's surprising, but it's interesting to me to realise that as a sport trying to internationalise, so like us, the US coming over to Europe, for example, there are other sports have done that, right? Whether it be whatever you're looking, I mean, every sport is now looking to try and internationalise.
Sure, and in the other direction,
the other way it works, right?
Football going over there, yeah,
exactly. And golf, you can see what they're doing. You know, it's just the way it works. And what's been interesting is actually conversations that I've been having with people that it's become almost a sort of an expectation that, well, when are you going to get your guys on a plane and come and play some games? Because it's almost kind of, I don't know, like table stakes, you know? For us, what's become apparent is the games are really important for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. And one of them is that it's a way for us to show to people that we actually care and that we are committed.
Yeah.
So that when you're having conversations about how do we make sure that our content, our game, is on certain platforms that give us the most eyeballs, fair question is, well, why should we do that?
Yeah.
And if we're able to say, well, actually, we should do that because look what's coming. Look at what we're bringing that make it a worthwhile proposition. It really changes the dynamic. Uh-huh. And so 100% agree. We're working really hard on getting that opportunity out there so that as people find our sport, people can watch content, but also thinking really hard and working on what's the right kind of content to put out there. So looking at different types of platforms, different types of fans, what they're used to watching. How do we make sure that we package it in a way which is localized, right? Yeah. So to my earlier point that, you know, we're used to consuming sport in a certain way in the UK, different in Japan, different in Mexico. That's the advantage of being out here. So we understand a little bit more, I think, about how best to do that rather than just kind of feed it down the pipe from the US. And
That's a really interesting point. So staying on the topic of fan engagement, but taking it through 90 degrees perhaps, you will be aware that there's been quite a lot of fan-led events. You know, people setting up their own events under their own steam, a lot of it off the back of Battlegrounds last year, watch parties and stuff like that. I mean, you must be pretty happy about that. It's a data point that you can feed back to the squareheads over in New York. What can you do?
First of all, it's amazing. It's up there with the most rewarding stuff that we see, because I wouldn't say that it's on the back of Battlegrounds. I think that what you recognise is that there are a group of people all trying to move it in a positive direction. So and it goes both ways. So I certainly would never say that it's as a response to Battlegrounds. But yeah, seeing that it's amazing, and it is just taking a step back. I think that's the way this stuff has to work, because. If just thinking about what we do and our role as an organisation, we can't get the sport to where we want it to be alone. Mm-hmm. Right? Fans are really important, of course, on both sides of the Atlantic. The playing community is really important. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned about things like content and partnerships in that realm. It all plays a part. So the idea that actually that you're seeing all these different fans take this initiative and start things is like genuinely extremely rewarding. The question that we ask ourselves and that we take really seriously is, how do we support it? How do we make sure that we make it easier for that to happen, improve it? And by that, I mean, I don't mean change it, I just mean enable it, facilitate it. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of conversations with the guys that are overseeing to Dave Shaw and overseeing the opening weekend's fan parties. Love that. And it's a challenge, you know, how do we best support it? And I think we're committed to figuring it out. As an example, like opening weekend, of course we can try and incentivize people to show up. So what have we got that can make it worth turning up to these bars? So merchandise, absolutely, let's do that. Believe that we're also offering a first round of drinks.
Oh dear.
Now I've said it on the pod, I don't know. I hope somebody in my office has put a cap on it, but that's fine, that's easy. But I think we're trying to ask bigger questions, which is, where would we like it to be? And rather than us leading that, let's listen, right? So what would you guys want? And things like player Q&As that can be a part of it. You know, we are working hard, and we're very optimistic that we can actually start getting some players on the ground over here. So then there's, you know, they should be involved, right? Things like venues as well. One of the advantages that we have is that, you know, we can help organise some of that stuff. So there's, you know, there's infrastructural support, I suppose. Yeah. It's great to see. Our question is, how do we make sure we facilitate that more, not just in the UK? It's the same question we ask everywhere. The guys are, you know, are doing that in Asia as well. So great to see it. And it is, it's the lifeblood of the
sport, really, isn't it? Tell you how to do it, your email is what? It's all right. I want
at backflipsandnerds.com.
Oh, goodness me. Oh, yeah. Well done. Well deflected. Yeah, if you want to send it to me, I can pass the message on, by all means, please do.
And also, actually, on that though, that it's exactly stuff like that that is probably is where I most see us really requiring more boots on the ground.
Hmm.
Because there are moments that are really frustrating where you want to, you know, you want to do more, and ultimately it comes down to us needing more people to support that. So you asked about the staff and growing, really important, but particularly because it can actually help us, you know, support these things better.
So just to wrap the conversation up, because
you've done already?
Yeah, you've given some awesome answers. I think you'll really have whet people's appetites. I think, you know, they've got a nice update from you. I think they can, you know, sense the way the winds are blowing, at least for the time being. So it's nice to hear that. But it's a genuinely exciting time. So you must be delighted that you took on this challenge and you know, energized for what's to come ahead.
I don't enjoy coming, you know, having to sort of some questions kind of deflect or be coy about it, but I can sort of see where we're heading over the next 12 months, 24 months, and it's a really exciting time to be an existing fan of baseball, to be aware of baseball, but on the cusp of being a fan. I think there's a load of great stuff coming, and like I said, it's not fun to have to be so patient, particularly when you see so many other things going on. But yeah, I mean, on a
personal level, the message from you is that you feel exactly the same as they do.
Of course, yeah. Like I get it. You know, I suppose the advantage being I do understand the amount of effort and work that's going into lining things up. And just a couple things. You can turn this off if I'm going on too much.
No, go for it.
But you know, I think things take time for lots of reasons, and one of the reasons that I think is valid is that, particularly with games, it's really important that when we do it right. And not doing it right means many things, but for us it means that we do it again and again. Mm-hmm. So that we're trying to make sure we line up the ability to come back year on year, make sure that this is a committed investment. But I don't mean that economically. I just mean that everyone's energy is committed to making sure this works over a period of time. And that requires a ton of people, union, players, owners, all being bought into that. And so it's a lot to manoeuvre, but you understand why it's worth doing, because then actually the foundations are laid for something that should be, like, you know, long term and have real legs.
So you're looking at laying down roots, basically.
It's one way of putting it, sure.
Excellent. Well, that if that doesn't whet people's appetites beyond what we've heard today, then I don't know what will. Charlie, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you, as always.
My pleasure. Thanks, John.
Thanks very much.